When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jets and Giants both lose, and this could be one of those... what do we call that? The tipping point. This is a tipping point situation for both of these organizations. I think one with the entire regime with the Jets and then with Daniel Jones. I don't know how you come back after the bye with Daniel Jones as the quarterback, but it's not like they've got some young rookie back there that they're waiting to see that they drafted in the first round who is ready to go. I mean, it's you got Drew Lock and you got Tommy DeVito. Tommy DeVito provides some energy and some entertainment in a season that you don't feel like is going anywhere. But, you know, watching Drew Lock play, I don't think is going to do much for you. So it'll be interesting to see how they come out of the bye and what decision that they make. And then, you know, for the Jets, I mean, the whole thing. Is there a way that this regime comes back next year? Because I don't see it. I mean, if they ran the table, maybe, but they're not going to do that. They're terrible. So, I mean, it is Ulbrich's done, unfortunately. Joe Douglas is done. Aaron Rodgers should retire unless he feels like he's got something left in the tank. And as you said, maybe he wants to go to another organization. You know, the other thing about Brett Favre that was different from Aaron Rodgers is, you know, Aaron Rodgers obviously had a falling out in Green Bay with him and Brian Gutekunst and everything else. But it doesn't seem like he's out for revenge as much as Brett Favre did. Because Brett Favre originally wanted, that first year when he went to the Jets, wanted to go to another NFC North team. Like he couldn't because the Packers had to trade him. So he wanted to go to the Vikings right away, couldn't, go to the Jets, and then found a way to the NFC North to go and try to beat them, which he did twice in a Vikings uniform. So I don't feel like Aaron Rodgers has that vengeance thing in him like Brett Favre did. He's going to walk away at the end of the year.
You know, it's amazing to me with all the money that is spent and the players that are on the field. You know, from Davante Adams to Garrett Wilson to a two-headed running back monster that should be one of the best pairs in the league, to an offensive line who I actually thought played reasonably well yesterday, although they didn't do much in terms of offense. I think they had less than 300 yards of total offense. It's mind-boggling to me that they can't. I mean, they look like my 95 Jet team. I mean, we could do anything. You know what I mean? We couldn't do it. Like, we totally. And I would say because we didn't really know what the hell we were doing on the field because nobody really paid a lot of attention to it.
Yeah.
Like, during the week. And I watch these games and I'm like, man, where it just like there's no rhyme or reason. That doesn't seem like there's any creativity. And I look at Aaron on the sideline, looks like he's flabbergasted. You know, he's spent. You know, he's tried all, you know, for the last year, all he's been doing is rehabbing and trying to lead a team back from the depths of despair where they have been for so long. And it has failed. Like on a just an epic basis.
So I get this is a good question. I was thinking about watching this game and how bad they were offensively. So we talk about Aaron Rodgers and the offense that he wants to run, and he brought that here. And Nate Hackett was the offensive coordinator for his two COVID MVPs, as he calls them. You know, but you know, you had two offensive-minded head coaches, one who was better than what we're seeing now in Dallas and Mike McCarthy, and then Matt LaFleur after that. Or did we not give enough credit to those guys with Aaron Rodgers during that time? And because, I mean, looking back, it was like basically like, well, you know, Mike McCarthy just basically rode Aaron Rodgers to his Super Bowl. And then Matt LaFleur, how lucky was he that he got a chance to step in and have Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback? And now what we saw, at least, I mean, if you look at the Dallas Cowboys last year, the regular season, their offense was amazing. But, you know, Matt LaFleur picks right up with Jordan Love. And then Aaron and his buddy Nate Hackett come here and can't do a goddamn thing on offense. I mean, there's got to be something to be said about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, Aaron's older, coming off of a significant injury, and has played, what, 10 games now for the Jets?
Yeah.
And it seems like he's been here for 10 years.
Yeah, really.
I mean, it's it is the moment that Achilles snapped, it's like his time here snapped. It has. I mean, I've walked a mile in his shoes, man. I know exactly what he's dealing with, and it's not fun. It is not fun to wake up. It's not fun to go to work. You know, everybody's looking at you for the answer. You don't have the answers. You know, I mean, he is a huge personality. He is about as, I want to say the word popular. It may sound a little stupid now because their team is losing, but he's one of the most popular players for the last two decades.
Yeah.
He's right up there with Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning in terms of name recognition, respect around the league in terms of the way he plays, and now it's all coming crashing down.
Yeah, but do you think it's more because of his age at this point, coming off the injury, or the fact that the coaches that he's working with now are subpar to what he had in the past at Green Bay from a head coach standpoint?
You know, I know that Peyton Manning and Adam Gase were like this, you know, as I'm crossing my fingers to show you that they were really tight. And that's him and Nathaniel Hackett are that tight. That's how tight they are. That doesn't make those guys great coaches.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sometimes being friends with the guy that's coaching you is a little rough because, you know, that coach, that friend that you've given a job to, or that guy has a job because of you and your success, is unwilling to give you the criticism or put you down and tell you, or sit you down and tell you exactly what needs to be done on the field to play. I think Aaron has so much freedom on the field that I think the offensive players just look to him and say, what are we doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's, sometimes you could be so good, and I'm sure Tom Brady was that way towards the end of his career in Tampa Bay, that everybody is just looking at you to make the play, to do the right thing. And when things aren't going well, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, maybe we're not as good as he thought he's not as good as we thought he was going to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also no one expected him to have to come off an injury. I mean, everything was, 2 years Aaron Rodgers, the first year is going to be a big year. And then, you know, we'll see what happens the second year. Then the first year, as you mentioned, it was just like everything. I mean, there was a reason why BT said, stop walking around work like a loser. Well, I mean, we were walking around because it was like, okay, this whole thing is done. Now, I didn't think it was going to be completely done the next season as well, but we have found out that it was.
Yeah, and especially adding Davante Adams when they did, getting rid of Mike Williams when they did, and then Mike Williams' reaction to going to Pittsburgh, according to Russell Wilson, charts.
Right, and then has one of the biggest highlights of the week in
one
another
catch
uniform.
In the biggest spot in the game, he makes it, and they win the game, and they walk off.
It's
well, they don't really walk
no,
off,
no,
but,
they, no,
they but anyway, they end up winning. But I would just say that it is a colossal meltdown of mammoth proportions given the amount of money, time, and effort that has been put into this by the Jets.
Let's go to John, who's in Elizabeth. What's going on, John?
Fellas, first time, long time.
Oh, welcome to the show, John. What's up today?
Okay, I'm 75 years old. I've been watching the Jets since they were the Titans. I went to the Polo Grounds to watch them. I am so frustrated. When they won the Super Bowl, I did not find out till 5 days later because I was on patrol in the jungles in Tay Ninh province in Vietnam.
Wow.
And been waiting ever since for this team to do something. and they have completely destroyed me after yesterday.
Yeah, and of course, thank you for your service on this Veterans Day, and that sort of ties everything together. The last time that the Jets won, he was fighting for our country in Vietnam, so we appreciate you calling. But listen, you know, don't let the Jets break you, John, for God's sake.
Especially today. Don't let them.
Exactly. I mean, that's the biggest point. I mean, today, you know, be proud of who you are, be proud of your service, be proud of everything that you have done for all of us, and don't let Aaron Rodgers and Jeff Ulbrich and Sauce Gardner tear you down, for God's sakes. You know, I know you love your team. We all love our teams, but sometimes you got to put in a little more perspective, you know? Let's go to Jeff in Oregon. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, it's Jeff in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, hey, Jeff. What's going on, man?
Hey, early over here, but, man, your show is awesome. Hey, I've got a question for you guys. You know, I remember, because I'm 52 years old, and I remember back Joe Montana, even Dan Marino, and I think Elway, towards the end of their careers, they were so successful and knew the offenses so well that they started to call their own plays. And, you know, obviously there's offense coordinator, and you need all that stuff. But they started to call it in the huddle. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, maybe now, now you can't blame anyone. Let him call his own play. See what happens. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I will say this. He's got the wristbands with the plays on it. Somebody, I think Todd Downing's trying to get more of a running game going. You know, like last year when Tom Brady, and it was in his last year, not last year, 2 years ago, I think he threw the ball almost like 700 times, and he was calling the plays. I did that once in my career. It's exhausting. It's you know, especially when you are a team that uses multiple groupings, and you're calling for certain groupings that have certain plays to be run in certain parts of the game where you think you have the understanding of what the defense is going to do to you. This is all analytics based. It's a lot of thinking, and it's a lot of time going on, and you're out there in the field and you're trying to talk to players about a previous play. Maybe you're talking about players in the next play. You got to have help, especially if these offenses are as detailed as they're supposed to be. Now, I would just say that Aaron has every right at the line of scrimmage to do whatever he wants, and he does do it. You know, they'll have a running play called on, and he'll just throw it out to Davante Adams or Garrett Wilson. And he'll tell those guys, look, if the guy's 8 yards off of you and I see everybody's on the left side of the field, you're on the right side, I'm just going to throw it out there to you. So just always be aware of it. And he's done that a lot. And a lot of times he'll see press coverage, you know, go, look, man, I'm throwing a back shoulder throw, or I'm going to throw it over the top. Regardless of what the play was called, this is what he's trying to do. He's trying to create a big play. So I think there's already a lot of that going on here for the Jets, but that's not the problem. The problem, as I see it, is that this offense lacks creativity, and there's too many hard throws that have to be made. I feel like it. And, you know, Aaron is just, you know, not the Aaron Rodgers that he was when he was 30 years old.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that just looking at the way that this offense is and this version of Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, that, you know, in Green Bay, there was probably a lot of defenses that knew what was coming. They just couldn't stop it because they were so skilled and so good, and the timing was perfect, and the back shoulder throws, and it was just the skill. It was more skill than scheme.
Yeah, plus they were younger, you know.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Davante Adams, for about 7 or 8 years there, was the best wide receiver in football.
Yep, yep.
I mean, he was one of the best route runners we have ever seen in the game. And, you know, even he's older, and you could see it. I mean, you could just see it, the explosion, and, you know, what was once virtually unstoppable now, I think, is just a 50-50 proposition.
It's the holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boomerang Geo Podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomerang Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Networks. We are giving away Boomerang Geo live tickets all week. So we're going to do it like we did with the Yankees tickets, and this is going to be the biggest and best Boomerang Geo live yet at the Paramount, November 22nd in Huntington on Long Island. Jose Iglesias will be there performing Oh My God. He will also be a part of the meet and greet. So this is going to be a huge one, and we're getting better at these every single one. So I know this one's going to be amazing. So what we'll do is we'll play a drop this hour. You got to listen to the drop this hour and memorize it. And then when you hear it next hour, that's when you call 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326, and be caller number 7. Don't do it now. You do it next hour after you hear the Eddie drop, which is...
Sheep vagina.
Sheep vagina. It's Boomer saying sheep vagina. So you're probably not going to forget that one. You probably don't even need to write that down in the notes section of your iPhone. Sheep vagina is the drop. And when you hear sheep vagina,
sheep vagina,
next hour, that's when you call
866-540-WFAN.
And it sounds weird, too.
It sounds weird, too. Yeah, where did that come from, Eddie? Do you know?
Not sure.
I do remember having a discussion about how we had heard that the sheep vagina is the most like the human vagina. I do remember having that discussion. Because there was urban legends of farmers and sheep, and that's why that came up in one of our discussions over the years, in the 7 years in which we have worked together.
September 12th of 23.
Yeah.
Farmers with sheep?
Oh, yeah. You have never heard that? Oh, no. That's a yes. I mean, but right, Eddie?
But yes, I mean, that is correct.
Okay. Imagine the nut clarity there.
Oh my God.
That's so good. If people don't know what we're talking about, it was Shannon and Ocho Cinco. They were talking about the after
effects. Post nut clarity.
Yeah, right. And now, like, all of a sudden, you're more reasonable and understanding about things after that. And
did I just do?
Yeah, right. Post nut clarity after. Yeah.
Sheila the sheep.
Oh. All right. So anyway, okay. Sheep vagina is the drop from Boomer that you'll hear next hour. Jeez. And get those Boomer and Geo live tickets, limited tickets available for sale as well at Ticketmaster.com. And if you get one of the VIP tickets, I mean, that experience is going to be awesome. The full meet and greet. You get a ton of gifts. You get a signed poster and everything else. So jump on that, Ticketmaster.com. It's coming up. And by the way, a lot of people have come up to me and said, it's Black Friday. It's not Black Friday. It's the Friday before Black Friday.
Yep.
So if that was in your head, you're like, oh, it's Black Friday. I got the family in town. It's not. It's the week before Black Friday.
No, we did do something on Good Friday, but...
We did. Yes, we did do something on Good Friday.
This is just a Friday.
This is just a Friday before Black Friday. All right, Jerry, what's going on over there?
Come on, Eddie.
God.
Oh, Jesus. Boy. The Cardinals beat up the Jets 31-6 on Sunday. Kyler Murray, a big problem on the afternoon.
First and 10 on the 12. Let's see if the Cardinals keep pounding it. They go with two receivers, one right, one left. Play clock at one, snap to Murray. And he's going to keep it, running right to the outside 10. Stays in bounds at the 5 and into the end zone for his second touchdown. Then he takes the football and hoists it into the casino.
Some really good tackling there. Cardinals radio.
I wonder how many missed tackles we saw yesterday from the Jets.
There's got to be a stat somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure. We know it's too many. I will tell you, we're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. 31-6, the final score. Murray, 2 touchdown runs. He also was nearly perfect. 22 of 24 throwing, 266 yards, and a touchdown. The loss for the Jets, well, they're 3-7 through 10 games. Aaron Rodgers, now what?
Just got to focus on what's in front of us. And beat the Colts and then get to the bye and sort some things out. And we got a couple West Coast opponents coming out for 1 o'clock games. And we got 1, 2, 3 division games. So a lot still in front of us.
Washy washy.
At some point it's got to start like now. And again, they're talking about the lack of energy. Here was Davante Adams.
I don't think we had the energy that we've had the last 2 weeks. I think that we could definitely be better there, but it was that's not really what it came down to.
Now,
I mean, like,
the
graphic
on TV,
yeah, no, it's
78
brutal.
And 171 for these two teams combined.
Yes, with one tie. The Giants had a tie over. Wasn't there a tie over in Europe or something? No, wasn't there a tie? I forget.
Wow,
maybe it was Washington Commander tie. I don't know.
I think it was the Commanders. But I don't remember. Who knows?
No, it's been brutal. But, you know, watching some of these replays, the Cardinals were blitzing, and like, Aaron just held on to the ball. I don't know why he's holding on to the ball. I don't know if they don't have an answer for the blitz. I'm not really sure.
Here was Garrett Wilson. Did the results dictate the lack of energy?
That's fair to say. I feel like you go out and play like that, you know, you know, it's going to be tough to find that energy. So maybe that was the case.
Well, they better find it soon. Aaron Rodgers, 22 of 35, 151 yards on the day. That was it. Jets play the Colts on Sunday. As for the Giants in Munich, we heard how Bob Papa called these plays. This was Panthers radio in overtime, the Tyrone Tracy fumble.
Jones out of the shotgun on the delay. Tracy hitting the backfield. Lost the football. And the Panthers say they have it. And they do. Josie Jewell recovered it. It looked like Trevin Wallace knocked it loose.
There you go. Yes,
I'll
they
tell you, do. That's a guy you really, really feel bad for.
I agree.
He was their best player on offense. Jalen Hyatt actually played well. The other silver lining in this game, by the way, and nobody's talking about, which is probably a good thing, because it means that he didn't stick out by making mistakes or getting beat. That was
the
Evan
right
Neal.
Tackle.
Evan Neal. He played against Davion Clowney. He was not the same player that he once used to be. But looking up some of the reports on Evan Neal and his game yesterday, it was a good, solid game for the right tackle.
Yeah, and Javon Clowney looked pretty good when he jumped about 15 feet in the air and slapped that ball up and then got picked off by another defender.
Evan Neal had nothing to do with that.
No, I know. I'm just saying. You said he was he definitely not the same player, but I was like, wow, Javon Clowney can still get those type of ups.
If you're the quarterback and a guy standing out there, you either got to negotiate to throw or throw it away.
Negotiate the throw.
You got to try, but then again, it looked to me the guy he was trying to throw to was covered as well. So in interceptions, like, just throw it away, man. Do something. Just don't give it to the other team.
Especially in the red zone. Killer. 20-17 was the final in overtime. Eddie Pinheiro kicks the game-winning field goal. Here was Bryce Young. What a win.
Great. I'm blessed for sure. All glory to God. I'm super happy for this team, for my teammates, for everyone involved. And, you know, it's great. Again, it's two wins right now. We had these 24 hours. We're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, well, it's two wins. Good for them. He sounds like a kid, too, when he talks. Here's Brian Daboll. So you had this flea flicker, and you watched the replay. They got receivers open all over the place, and instead of saying I don't know why he didn't throw the ball, he takes this tact.
Yeah, I wish I had it back. Yeah, wish I had it back. Didn't work. Yeah, I wish I would have. Wish I had it back.
He had a chance
bad coaching.
To throw it. Yeah, I know he gets sacked on the play, and it looks like it happens quick. He's got to throw it right now. Right now, he's got to throw it. He's got to throw it quick and just let it go.
You think he was being sarcastic there? When I read it, I'm like, what is he doing? But I listened to it. I almost feel like he's being sarcastic when he's like bad coaching at the end. And then when you see the replay, it's not bad coaching. It was a very good play call.
Oh, maybe, though. I mean, I guess they have the tablets to look at it. But, I mean, I think when he looks back at that, he's going to say, oh, my God, these guys were wide open. This was a great call. Are you kidding me?
Did you see the play by Baker Mayfield yesterday when he was straight-arming Nick Bosa?
Yes, it was one of the greatest things ever.
I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. So, in other words, that quarterback didn't give up.
No.
And, you know, there's been three or four times in that game yesterday where he could have easily been sacked, and he wasn't. Like, he was competing.
He sure was.
And he was fighting, and, you know, he's missing his two best wide receivers, and yet he still gives his team a chance. That's the personality that Brian Daboll is looking for.
I will tell you, walking out of that stadium yesterday, hearing a lot of the Bucs fans,
yes.
Todd Bowles, they way too conservative. It sounded like we were here again.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it was like all you heard was what were they doing running the ball in the end when they, you know, ran up twice and then went incomplete. And
Buccaneers. Buccaneers.
Kicking the field goal. Anyhow, the Giants are 2-8. The Panthers now 3-7 with that win. Sunday Night Football, the Lions trailed 23-7, came back, beat the Texans 26-23, and a Jake Bates long field goal as time expired. Some wait for Sunday night. Some they will say you've been waiting all day for Sunday night. Well, couldn't be truer for C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this opportunity to play on Sunday night.
See,
couldn't
wait to get there.
Yeah, it was Jesus's idea along with NBC to do this Sunday night game. And he was like, you know, I think this will be perfect for people. I wonder if it was Jesus that made the switch from Faith Hill to Carrie Underwood. Was that also Jesus' idea?
I'm not so sure. I don't know.
It could be the man with knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Him.
Here's D'Amico Ryans. We were doing great of 23-7. Then we got run over after having that lead.
Yeah, we have to look at it. Second half, of course, we understand. We haven't moved the ball. We haven't scored points in the second half. Defensively, done some things that are uncharacteristic in the second half.
Now, allowing them to score as much as they did. This was also
still have a two-game lead in the AFC South. And remember, we were talking about if the Jets could win on Sunday, you need a couple teams in front of them to lose. Both the Colts and the Broncos lost.
But you know what happened? The Jets lost.
Yeah.
So they didn't help themselves out at all.
The Saints beat the Falcons 20-17. Darren Rizzi's the interim head coach for New Orleans. A little bit of a long clip, but here he is. Very exciting day for him, you would think, getting the victory. Here he explains how things started and went.
You guys know me. I'm a pretty open guy, so this is how my day started. I get down here to the stadium, I get down here to Superdome. I go in the head coach's locker room, which, you know, I've never used before, right? So here I am early in the morning. I go to the bathroom, and this is how my day started. I clogged the toilet. And I'm like, this is going to be a crappy day, pun intended. And so we listen. I'm like, okay, this is not really a great start to the day. Here we go. And so, I'm not really feeling like a head coach of an NFL team right now. So,
but they did win the game.
Oh, man,
so I handed the plunger to Derek Carr and said, unclog this thing, loser. you know, they love their special teams coach. You're usually the guys that are most intense guys, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of those types of coaches get the interim tag, because they have a relationship with pretty much 7/8 of the team. Maybe the quarterbacks are the only ones. But, so good for him.
Very funny. The Eagles beat the Cowboys 34-6. Cooper Rush and Trey Lance threw for a combined 66 yards in an NFL game in 2024. That's pretty bad.
Let me ask you a question, guys. Yeah. So here are your free agent quarterbacks starting next year. Okay. Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Jacoby Brissett, Taylor Heineke, Marcus Mariota, Drew Lock, Jared Stidham, Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, Mac Jones, Carson Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo, Case Keenum, Mason Rudolph, Easton Stick, Cooper Rush, Joshua Dobbs, Brandon Allen, Nick Mullins, Kyle Trask, Josh Johnson, Kyle Allen, Russell Wilson, Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rippon, Sam Ellinger, and Tommy DeVito. Those are your next year free agent quarterbacks.
So it's the question. You said you want to ask us a question.
Who do you want?
For who?
For the Giants or the Jets.
Oh.
No, thanks.
That's see, not a great list. The point is, it's not that easy to find that guy. That's the problem.
Here's Jalen Hurts.
He was asked about turnovers and were you able to build momentum, where their momentum shifts in this game because of it?
Kind of momentum is an illusion in a sense, because it can end and begin at any moment. So just treating every play as its own.
And it certainly worked out well for them.
That sounds like a Mike Tomlin thing, right?
Yeah.
Momentum is an illusion. You start and stop at any minute.
I mean, that is some deep stuff there, huh?
Then there's Micah Parsons. We need to be better on defense. And he didn't say this, but he's certainly implying that the offense is going to struggle. And they did, to be fair.
We got to be the offensive light this time. You know, you know, every time we had a turnover, I looked at the guy and said, we need some bad shit going to happen. I mean, that's where we at with this.
That is right. Brutal.
He's going to make a great announcer someday.
Oh,
by
my
way.
God. He might.
Yes.
Then there's Jerry Jones, this exchange with a reporter about Dak Prescott.
What does today's performance tell you about Dak's role in this team and what he's been doing this season?
Well, what do you mean?
Given that you saw what the team looked like without Dak, how do you when you look at the difference, what do you think about Dak?
I don't want to be sarcastic, but are you got the same arithmetic I've got? We've won 3 games with Dak. Okay, so I'm just saying, we weren't playing well with Dak at all.
Watching this, Ed Werder is behind Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
And some of the questions aren't great. The facial expressions he's making, it's almost like, who gave this dope a credential? It was very funny. So, yeah, Jerry had a tough day, as the Cowboys did. And
still haven't won a home game.
I'm aware. Oh, after they couldn't lose home games.
Yes.
Which is crazy. And in Tampa, which was a fun game, the Niners beat the Bucs 23-20. Talked about the Deebo Samuel incident on the sidelines last hour, which I did not see from the press box. Had no idea that was going on. Here he was post-game in the locker room. The incident with Jake Moody and Tabor Pepper that we discussed, basically trying to choke them after Moody missed another field goal. Ironically enough, he did kick a field goal to win.
Tabor Pepper?
I believe so. Yeah. The long snapper. Yeah.
Normally, I don't even get like that, but just like frustrated in the heat of battle, you know, the close game. And, you know, I kind of got out of character a little bit, but, you know, I'll talk to Moody and, you know, we'll get past it.
All right, but how about the fact that he made the kick to win?
I think he had a little dog in him, you know, a little motivation to go out there and make the field goal. When I was talking to him at first, like, I wasn't saying
taking
nothing,
credit
like,
for this?
I was just, you know, kind of frustrated at the time, but, you know.
I think he provided the motivation.
He scared the crap out of him. You miss this one, you come over the side, I'm going to kill you.
You know what's amazing about that? So Brian Baldinger, he says hello, by the way. He was doing the game with me. Before the game began, he said, kicking to that side of the field is going to be a problem because of the way the wind is swirling on that side of the field. All 3 misses were on that side. Now, the make was 2, but that was interesting.
You know, not for nothing, Brian was right, but he might have been listening to the Fox News podcast.
I'm not so
Fox,
sure.
Fox Weather podcast.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Weather update podcast.
Yeah.
Fox Weather Up, whatever it's called. Whatever. Storm the Field, I think it's called.
Oh, man, pretty funny. The Rams play the Dolphins tonight to wrap up the leak in the week.
The leak in the week.
I got 2 hours sleep. I'm not speaking really good right now.
You're a grinder.
Yeah, whatever. Knicks beat the Pats. They're lost to the Pacers, 132-121. So they're 4-5. Pacers 5-5 on the season. Nets in New Orleans tonight on the Fan, 101.9 at 7:50. And then you got Rutgers St. Peter's on 6:60 a.m. at 7 p.m. And the Sharks beat the Devils 1-0.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You asked earlier for the missed tackle stat for the Jets. Rich Cimini posted last night. The Jets defense missed 20 tackles, tied for the most by any team in a game this season per Next Gen Stats. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, looked like it, and it certainly was backed up by the stats.
You could be a hardcore fan, you could be a scout, you could be a stat maven, you could watch it, and you could just say, there's a lot of people that are not getting to where they need to get to, and if they do get there, they don't make the tackle, which is very difficult for a defense to defend, because their one singular job is to do what?
Well, stop the offense.
Tackle.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I'll tell you, they were bad on both sides of the ball yesterday, and unfortunately, Jeff Ulbrich is just, you know, he's kind of holding a place, and it's unfortunate for him that he has to be the guy that has to go through this because he's basically an innocent bystander, because when he was the defense coordinator, the defense was actually making plays, and it seemed like they were playing with intensity.
Yeah, now they're, I mean, they've gotten much worse since Rob Saleh got fired. And I don't know if that's because Rob Saleh had a huge influence on the defense, or the fact that Jeff Ulbrich is now being spread too thin because he's still the defensive coordinator along with being the head coach.
Yeah, I would think that's probably a big part of the problem. The other part of the problem is C.J. Mosley can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Because I think he's the heartbeat of that team, and I think he's the ultimate leader. And I think he's a terrific player, and it, unfortunately for him, it just has not gone well. You know, last year he played well. They played great. This year has been basically not around due to injuries.
Let's go to Brian in Northport. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, Brian. What do you got for us today?
I feel like I'm stuck in Groundhog's Day, and I can't get out. It's the same crap over and over, and I hope that two debates on the Fan are over, and that's, is Daniel Jones the guy, and are the Jets going to the Super Bowl? No and no. He sucks. They suck. This all sucks. It's over. The debate has to stop.
Oh, yeah.
It's
no, crazy. I mean, who's still having that debate? There's one guy who calls
BT,
up and he...
BT.
That Daniel Jones is the guy still? No way. Nobody. There's not a person on the planet outside of that Brett from Long Island who calls the overnights who thinks that Daniel Jones is the quarterback.
I'm talking about BT with the Jets.
Oh, okay, with the Jets. Well, he's got, I mean, you haven't heard him this morning. I'm sure this morning he'll come on and declare them dead.
Next week, if Daniel Jones throws for 400 yards next week and the Jets blow out the Colts 80-3, it's going to be back on the table again. No, it's not. It's done. Thanks, yeah, guys. You're great.
All right. Thanks. And he's talking about Aaron Rodgers.
You know, and Brian can say that as a fan. I mean, that's your team. You know your team better than hell we do. But I will say that, you know, the players and the coaches don't think that way. They can't think that way. I mean, there could be some guys that are going to be free agents that may be thinking about, I don't know, those business decisions that we talk about and that Saquon Barkley alluded to in his Nate Burleson interview yesterday.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let's get to that coming up at 8 o'clock because we don't have as much time here, and I want to get into that for sure. Very interesting comments from the former Giant. Let's go to Rob, who's calling from Long Island. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob.
Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans.
Absolutely.
So, you know, my comment is the Jets and the Giants are in the same predicament. It's consistency over time, attention to detail, Saban, all these coaches. They're all the same types of guys. Parcells was the same type of guy. Starts on the defense. You got to be consistent. You got to have players who show up every day, who are anchor players, the other players look to, and are consistent. You know, that's sports. We all know that. It's life. It's business. So, you know, I know that's kind of a general comment, but, you know, they got to get their lunch pails and go to work every day and show the fans they want it. You know, and it's play after play. You don't get down and you show up and you kick people's asses over time. Listen, you guys have a great show. Have a great day. Thanks for everything you do.
Yeah, thanks, Robbie. Rob. You know, I will say this, that I thought the Giants gave a winning performance and a winning effort yesterday with the exception of three turnovers. Two of those were directly attributed to Daniel Jones. Now, you want to say that he was not going to pull the trigger on a number of other plays where he had guys open or missed the Malik Nabers early in the game? Hey, that's all on him. All the coaches can do is call the plays, design the plays, and then it's up to the players to execute the plays. And, you know, when you throw interceptions in the red zone, they are absolutely killers. You know, Graham Gano misses a field goal early on in this game yesterday. You got two turnovers in the red zone. You got one late in the game that, you know, look, the Giants have a hard time scoring when they're in the red zone. I'm not saying that they would have scored a touchdown. They would at least attempted another field goal. But, I mean, those are points that should be 14 points right there. That should be, they left 17 points minimum or maximum, 17 points out on the field due to their own mistakes. Two interceptions, bad throws by Daniel, and the missed field goal by Graham Gano. They should have won this game by 10 points.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team in the Carolina Panthers that got an opposing team's head coach fired. It was the final straw because they actually beat that team. I mean, Dennis Allen lost his job because he couldn't beat the Carolina Panthers.
And, you know, Giants couldn't stop the run yesterday. Jets couldn't stop the run yesterday. You know, that is the basis of every football team in this league. Can you run it and can you stop the run?
All right.
You got to be able to do both effectively in order to be a good team.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.